Ich bin völlig blind. Manchmal habe ich das Gefühl, meine Tage und Nächte sind auf den Kopf gestellt, weil ich Schwierigkeiten habe, nachts zu schlafen und tagsüber wach zu bleiben. Ich leide unter NON24, einer seltenen Schlaf-Wach-Rhythmusstörung, die viele völlig blinde Menschen betrifft. Möchtest du mehr über diese Erkrankung in Verbindung mit völliger Erblindung erfahren? Rufe kostenfrei an unter 0800 24 24 005.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
There are occasions that some may consider strange. Of course, there are typical haunted houses and old burial grounds that may or may not actually be supernatural. But none could truly comprehend the happenings of the Dillison Farm. The Dillison Farm was a place that even the bravest adventurers would not go. It was hard to call skeptics truly skeptic when they refused to step foot in the place. The origins of the Dillison Farm are not exactly known, but its history was enough to write a book. The first case would be from 1962. The Dillison Farm would be inherited by John and Mabel Dillison, along with their four children. John inherited the farm from his grandfather, who passed away from tuberculosis. John's grandfather, Henry, would be described as a good man. He was a hard worker who cared about the farm as much as he cared about his family. For many decades, Henry lived on the farm, though it was never known if he owned the farm or if he inherited himself. In Henry's final days, he was hysterical. In his hospital room, he would scream constantly about holes in the fields and hands rising from the ground. He was never known what he meant before he died. That is, until John inherited the farm. Neighbors were not as keen to see these Dillisons as they were to Henry. John was described as a raging drunk. Mabel was a loud, burdensome woman. The three Dillison sons were troublesome teens who would skip school and throw parties on the farm. The one Dillison daughter was a sheltered and spoiled child. Police would be called to the Dillison farm almost daily, from domestic abuse to noise complaints. There was nothing the Dillisons weren't notorious for. That is, until the night of May 16th, 1963. At around midnight, neighbors heard Mabel Dillison screaming and shouting from the fields. She was nude and red in the face. She seemed unspeakably hysterical about something. The situation quickly turned grim when it was discovered why she was behaving this way. A few days before, Mabel's beloved cat, Whiskey, had gone missing. Mabel speculated that perhaps John had something to do with it. It wasn't until that night that Mabel was taking a late night shower when she heard faint meows from the bathroom window. She didn't even put any clothes on before she ran outside. That is when she was met with a grisly sight. Mabel discovered Whiskey, but he'd been completely skinned. It was not like his fur had been shaved. Whiskey's skin was completely gone. It was like it had been cleanly peeled. The worst part was that the poor thing was still alive. Seeing this, Mabel went into an absolute meltdown. She began screaming into the night, blaming John. Mabel spent that night in police custody for her own protection. John got his rifle and put the poor feline out of its misery. Who would do something so heinous? No animal or person should ever have to go through something so horrendous. The next event would take place on February 2nd, 1964, at 10 p.m. Police were called to the Dillison farm after gunshots were heard. When they arrived on the scene, John Dillison was out in his backyard. He was an incoherent mess. He was screaming about the farm's well. He claimed to have witnessed each and every other Dillison member get dragged into the well. He spoke of black, oily tendrils that arose from the well and pulled Mabel down. She'd gone out that night to check up on the chicken coops after she heard a ruckus. John was watching from the window. He jumped up and tried to alert the kids, but they were already gone. They weren't in the bed where he'd last seen them. The gunshots rang after John proclaimed that they came back, but it wasn't them. He spoke of something in the well that took his family, then pretended to be them. The police assumed that John had suffered a mental breakdown, executed the other Dillison members, and disposed their bodies in the farm's well. John was later sentenced to a mental facility for the rest of his days. The rest of the Dillison members were never recovered, though attempts were made to recover them from the well. Though they tried, the authorities noted that the well, quote, never seemed to end. It's not known how deep that well truly is, but this was an all too familiar situation for the neighbours of Dillison Farm. They recalled Henry's dying ramblings. Did his talk of something in the ground actually have weight? For almost two decades, Dillison Farm would be a desolate mass of land. People around the area began to suspect that the Dillison Farm was cursed. The next event wouldn't take place until 1983. By this point, the Dillison Farm was practically in a state of abandoned disrepair. That was until the property would be purchased by Ed Smith Mining, a mining company that was mainly based in New York at the time. In late fall of that year, Ed Smith sent a 20-man crew to Dillison Farm in the hopes of harvesting the rich soil. While Dillison had its cursed reputation, the place would produce some of the best crops ever seen. By this point, most of the neighbours had moved away. Dillison was officially a desolate strip of land. 15 of the men vanished one November night during a 30-minute night break. The manager had come back to find 15 of his staff gone and 4 incapacitated on the ground. Of the 4 that remained, none of them could accurately recall what happened. All that could be gathered was that the crew had heard strange noises coming from one of the freshly dug holes. One of the men went to investigate first, but he was gone for far too long. Eventually, the worker came back, but he appeared strange. The worker seemed almost anxious and tried to convince the others to follow him to the hole. That's when the 4 remaining workers blacked out, only to awaken to 15 other comrades missing. The missing 15 workers were never found, recovered, or heard from again. Ed Smith Mining filed for bankruptcy in 1990 after the families of the missing workers filed a lawsuit against the company. To this day, the Dillison Farm still remains, untouched and unexplored. That brings us to just a few months ago. I used to work for a team of paranormal investigators. For safety purposes, my name and my colleagues' names have been changed. Months prior, we'd been preparing for a 3-day camp and exploration of the Dillison Farm. If there truly was something cursed about the farm, we were going to find out. The day had finally come. The team for this exploration consisted of Dave, Ashley, Hector, Rob, and myself. Dave was the leader of the exploration, as he had the most experience exploring paranormal locations. Ashley was roughly new to exploration, but she had an ambition that you just couldn't find anywhere else. Hector was the oldest of the group. He joined the team in the hopes of something breaking his skepticism of the paranormal. Rob was a stern, hard-boiled guy, but he was cool as long as he stayed on his good side. We arrived on the farm right around dusk. The place was a dusty old mess. I never thought I could describe a place as depressed, but this place was completely devoid of joy or life. The first thing Dave pointed out was the uncanny lack of sound. Nothing could be heard but the dry breeze of the dusty air. There were no birds, insects, or passing cars. It was just complete and utter silence. Not a single living creature had set foot on this land in years. The farm was just an abandoned purgatory lost to time. "Something feels off about this place," Ashley said. "This place sure as hell gives me the creeps, that's for sure," said Hector. I was somewhat mesmerized by the place. I'd heard about the place, but I'd never set foot on the grounds before. Seeing it in person was far, far more intense than any tales could give off. "Daylight is fading, people. Let's move," ordered Dave. He simply put what our mission was. We were to investigate the infamous well, the same one that was spoken of in the John Dillison case. Dave's plan was to attach a submersible camera to a thick wire and send it down the well. Our plan was to see if we could find what the police could never. If John Dillison's story had any kind of weight, then the bodies of the Dillison family may still be in that well, if they were ever there in the first place. While Dave, Hector and Rob set up the line and camera for the well, Ashley and I investigated the farm and Dillison living quarters. The house had nothing interesting. The house, for the most part, had been completely emptied. The only thing that remained were a few old kitchen appliances. The barn was no different. The place was mostly empty, other than left-behind farm equipment. There was one thing that Ashley noted, though. There was a strange trail in the dirt that led from the barn to a filled-in hole by the outhouse. The trail looked fresh. Too fresh. What made it even creepier was that the trail didn't seem like it was made by a person. It was weird and disorganized. At some points, the trail was serpentine. At other points, it turned insect-like. Ashley took a photo for the notes. I couldn't escape the unease of what could have caused that trail, though. It was now about 8 p.m. The line was ready to go down. I'd set up tents and placed floodlights on the scene. This was about to be a long night. Hector loaded the camera on the brim of the well. On Dave's cue, the camera began to descend. "We have vision," Ashley confirmed as the camera's point of view appeared on a laptop. "It's too dark. Activate night vision," requested Dave. Ashley activated the night vision from a laptop as the camera continued to descend. There was nothing strange so far. All we could see were the walls of the well. "We've now descended to 20 feet," said Ashley. The man-made stone walls of the well continued onward. "Huh. It's a bit strange that the well goes down this deep. The stone walls, that is," I said. Dave looked at me like I sounded like an idiot. I probably did, in his mind. "We've descended to 40 feet, said Ashley. By this point, we were beginning to see the moisture against the walls. Something was a little off, though. There was a strange black ooze beginning to appear in patches. At first glance, one would assume it to be mildew or sludge, but it slightly wriggled as the camera passed it. I would almost compare it to slugs. "What is that?" I asked. "Probably worms. They're decomposers, you know." "Maybe they've been eating something dead down there," said Rob semi-sarcastically. "We've descended to 80 feet, said Ashley, confused. 80? What happened to 60? I asked. "I don't know. The camera completely skipped a marker." "It's just a glitch. Proceed," said Dave. Hector and Rob continued lowering the line. By this point, the walls had stopped being stone. The walls were just a combination of darkened mud and that weird black sludge. That's when the camera came to a sudden halt. "Why did you guys stop?" asked Dave. "We didn't. I think we hit something," said Rob. The camera didn't show anything, though. We were still looking at the same murky sludge. That's when the camera began to short out. The signal began to go in and out. For a split second, the screen changed to something else. "Ashley, pause the live feed and play that back," said Dave. Ashley did so. And sure enough, something showed up for a millisecond. Ashley took a few tries before she was successfully able to pause on the image. It was a black screen with a few simple words. "What are you looking for?" Seeing this made everyone pause. "Well, that's freaky," said Hector. "What do we do about that?" asked Rob. "This is just an interference. Satellite interruptions. Keep going. This has nothing to do with us," said Dave. Dave was thoroughly creeped out. I could see it all over his face. After a bit of wrestling with the wire, the camera began to descend again. "We've descended 280 feet, said Ashley through a shaky voice. For the first time through the entire descent, the camera's audio detected something. It started as a slight noise, but the lower we went, the louder it became. Soon we could vividly hear what it was. It was the painful meows of a cat. The sound was clearly a cat, but it sounded distorted. The only way I could describe it was as if something that wasn't a cat was trying desperately to sound like one. Through it all, we went lower and lower. Eventually, the meowing began to sound less animalistic and more human-like. The cries of a cat began to sound like the cries of a person. Several people. The voices screamed in unison. By this point, Ashley was ready to get the hell out of there. I was as well. Rob tried his best to stay composed, but I could tell he was on the verge of freaking out. The night vision wasn't seeing anything anymore. It was just darkness. The screen began to display words and phrases. Mabel, Bobby, Sam, Frank, Joshua, Whiskey. They're a part of us now. You can be a part of us too. Behold. The camera's footage was cut out entirely. The camera remained off for several minutes. Suddenly, Hector and Rob yelled as the wire began to rapidly descend. Something was pulling the camera, and it was pulling hard. Rob tried to grab the wire, only for it to burn his hands. The wire reached its limit. The end of the wire, which was rooted into the ground, violently popped out and went straight down the well. "No, the camera!" yelled Dave. The footage of the camera returned. The camera depth displayed as minus 340. The camera appeared to be somewhere else. We could see stalagmites, water, and more of that black sludge. Something picked up the camera just out of view and held it there for a few seconds. The screen displayed a final set of messages. Dave, Ashley, Rob, Hector, Mark. Don't be afraid. We can keep you safe. Down here. The camera turned to reveal what it was holding. What we saw made us all visibly pale. A grotesque amalgamation looked into the camera. We could see what appeared to be a combination of three women, four men, a cat, and a few other creatures. All of them were covered in a coating of black fluid. In unison, they smiled into the camera. The camera went offline for good. Suddenly, we began to hear something rapidly climbing up the well. All of us ran to the van as quickly as possible. We had no regard for our belongings or each other. All of us jumped into the vehicle and stepped on the gas like there was no tomorrow. In the rearview mirror, we could see a disgusting mass chasing us on thin, insect-like legs. The entire ride was silent. All of us were lost in our own shock. We just discovered something horrifying at Dillerson Farm, but all the evidence had just been abandoned there. When something like that happens, you don't think about evidence or conspiracy. All that's on your mind is survival. I gave up on paranormal investigation after that. I think all of us did. I never heard from any of them again. I assume they all just went out and got normal jobs. I never saw or heard mention of Dillerson Farm ever again. Truth be told, I don't think I want to know anything about it. If it were up to me, I'd tell the military to go in there and burn the place to ashes. There are some things in this world that human eyes were not meant to understand. What was in that well? Whatever became of it? I've made several theories on what it could have been. My first thought that there's some body-snatching aliens living under Dillerson Farm. My other theory was that the well may have been some sort of portal to hell. I don't think I'll ever truly know what it was. However, I'll leave off with a simple message. If you ever come across a place called Dillerson Farm, stay the hell away from it. Dillerson Farm is a place lost to time. It is a place that remains a desolate blind spot in the eyes of God. And that is what it must remain. Whatever you do, let Dillerson Farm rot.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.